Greetings, friends. I want to wrap up this series on non-duality by looking at what it means to live this out in our lives. In other words, what does non-dual love in action mean? The Greek word agape is used in the New Testament to describe the highest form of love, or divine love, a love that is utterly self-giving and extravagant. And this is the love that Jesus described in Matthew 5, verse 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." It is a love that reaches across all boundaries and includes everybody, even our enemies. And it is the love that is at the heart of what Jesus lived, taught, and ultimately died for. And this is the love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." This is fascinating. We can do all these amazing things described in this passage, even give everything we possess to the poor, but not necessarily have love. So what is the nature of this divine love, this non-dual love? This agape or non-dual love is never in service of our self-image. And so by definition, the small self or egocentric self is never the source of selfless love. It cannot be. This love in action is a difficult topic to talk about because our minds are so often churning and strategizing in service of our small selves, to project the best image of ourselves that we can. And this is going on all the time. If you just start to watch the chatter of your mind, it's doing this all the time, and it can be extremely subtle. And so as soon as we start to talk about activism and inclusive love, people often go into spirals of guilt and shame on the one hand, or self-justifying monologues of the mind on the other. The ego cannot take this on as a project. Then it merely becomes an egocentric problem to solve. And that is far too small a space to give rise to this kind of expansive, selfless love that we're talking about here. Rather, non-dual love is precisely about recognizing and gently surrendering all of the self-serving mind chatter. Because true love means to serve another without self-interest of any kind. In other words, without any chatter or projection about the self. And Jesus described this in his Sermon on the Mount: "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret." And this is a lovely description of selfless love, not even talking to ourselves about what wonderful, generous people we are. The danger here, though, is that we so quickly turn on ourselves about things, and we're very quick to turn on ourselves when we recognize our egocentric chatter. But that just gets us trapped in self-constricted loops again. The starting point is never about trying to destroy the ego self, because we need a healthy ego to function in the world. Rather, it is through the surrendered ego, I love that term, surrendered ego, that the love of God can flow. The way we work with this in our everyday lives is to recognize our self-centered behavior. Notice when we go into a story loop about ourselves, or when we try to manipulate or control others, or ever so subtly promoting ourselves. When we recognize any of this kind of self-serving behavior, we very simply and gently let this go. And in this way, we are surrendering our egos again and again, and thus allowing our action to be an expression of the deeper, more spacious, true self within us. Richard Rohr wrote, "The true self does not teach us compassion as much as it is compassion already." And from this more spacious and grounded place, one naturally connects, empathizes, forgives, and loves just about everything. We were made in love, for love, and unto love. The true self and its natural capacity for non-dual love is birthed in God as our deepest source. And so it naturally gives expression to this divine love that is spacious, non-boundaried, and whole. And this is why action and contemplation have to go together, because contemplation teaches us to surrender deeply to God as our source, as the ground of our being. In contemplative prayer, we receive the profoundly unconditional love of God, which transforms us from within, so that from this abiding in God, being connected to the vine, the fruit will come naturally, as Jesus described in John chapter 15. It is in knowing that we are loved that we can naturally give love. It becomes a very natural flow through us. And action then becomes an expression of the selfless love that naturally arises from our rootedness in God as our deepest source. And action becomes a way of self-giving that opens us even more into our spacious and compassionate true self. And so these two work together, this contemplation and action. Living from this place of non-dual love involves a shift in how we are oriented to our lives. Our egocentric starting point is generally that life should serve me and mine. And this is quite a natural starting point, but we need to bring awareness to it. We even manage to co-opt God into this as being on my side, or on the side of my race, my religion, my country, my gender, and this has led to all manner of conflict and wars. Non-dual love involves a shift in orientation to how can my life be of service to God and others? Or to use more explicitly non-dual language, how can my life be lived in tune with the whole that I'm part of, and in service to the harmony of the whole? In this way, we're committing ourselves to be part of the fulfillment of Jesus' prayer in John 17, that they may be one as we are one. And I love the description by the scientist Bernardo Kastrup, and he said that my life is bursting with meaning because it is not about me. I am an instrument. I love that my life is bursting with meaning because it's not about me. I'm an instrument. There's a beautiful sense of relief and freedom in this. I don't have to carry the weight of all of this myself. In allowing myself to be an instrument, I can cooperate in a much more creative, free, and therefore generative way with the symphony of life that's already happening. And so the attitude that we bring to our service in the world, to how we show up in anything that we do, is that of a surrendered and receptive cooperation, an eagerness to be a channel for divine love and peace, and a willingness to soften and open boundaries where they are entrenched in ourselves and in society. And this love is always working towards inclusivity, belonging, and wholeness. And Father Gregory Boyle, who is such an inspiration, he describes it in this way. We imagine with God the circle of compassion. Then we imagine no one standing outside of that circle, moving ourselves closer to the margins so that the margins themselves will be erased. We stand there with those whose dignity has been denied. We locate ourselves with the poor and the powerless and the voiceless. At the edges, we join the easily despised and the readily left out. We stand with the demonized so that the demonizing will stop. We situate ourselves right next to the disposable so that the day will come when we stop throwing people away. And this wholeness that we're talking about also has to include the environment, the beautiful, deeply wounded natural world that we live in. And Bede Griffiths was a fascinating Benedictine monk who started an ashram in India, and he developed Christian non-dual teaching in his work on interspiritual dialogue. And he talked about eco-human well-being. It's a really interesting term, eco-human well-being. And he wrote, we have to learn to see ourselves as part of the physical organism of the universe. We need to develop the sense of the cosmic whole and of a way of relating to the world around us as a living being which sustains and nourishes us and for which we have responsibility. This will give rise to a new understanding of our environment and will put an end to this age of the exploitation of nature. The world and the planet are desperately crying out for this kind of non-dual love and end to the exploitation of one another and of nature. Imagine if we could discover experientially what selfless love truly means and live from this place of inner radiance. Surely this is the core meaning of what it means to be a Christian. Being Christ's healing hands and compassionate heart in the world. And so I'll end with a description of this by Luke Healy from the Integral Christian Network. And he wrote, "The heart of Christianity is the heart of love. The heart of Jesus is love. Deep down in the center of our hearts is the radiant core of love and bliss which emanates out to the world, to our neighbors. This is the center to which Christianity must return, and the core out of which will evolve new communities and further expressions for a changing world. Let us tap deep into our roots and find the generative energy to rise into a vibrant, living spiritual tradition that offers to the world beauty, hope, meaning and a radical love." Imagine that. Let us tap deep into our roots and find the generative energy to rise into a vibrant, living spiritual tradition that offers to the world beauty, hope, meaning and radical love. May it be so. Amen.